The following talk was presented on the 12th of March 2023 by spiritual leader Julian Harvey and is entitled Remembering to Regeneratively Reincarnate.
So the talk title today is Remembering to Regeneratively Reincarnate. And I had a really cool photo, and then I thought, hang on a second, who's the outside of you know who, begins with a J, ends with a C. Outside of that, who else do we know that regenerates and reincarnates, you know, all the time? And of course, it was Doctor Who. So I thought I'd show a photo of the latest lots of Doctor Who's. And in fact, we don't have that one yet. That one, where is it? There. No, I've not found that one there. We haven't got that season in Australia yet. There. That's me being goofy about the whole thing. Let me just stop sharing so you can see me, apparently. So, what do I mean by remembering to regeneratively reincarnate? It's an interesting sentence. I know that last week I advertised that I was going to talk about what's your 10 commandments. And what was really interesting was that I was thinking about it and I was contemplating it. And then through the week, not only in Unity, but outside of Unity, I had a conversation about Lent. And I had a conversation with a colleague about their perspective of Lent and what my understanding of Lent was, which then led to the conversation about, did Jesus reincarnate? Did Jesus, what did he do? How did he do that? And we had this long conversation, or reasonable conversation about it. That then led me to understanding that that at Unity, we don't talk a lot about reincarnation. It's something that we look at. And then lo and behold, the class that I taught on Tuesday night in UNS, so through the class at Metaphysics 1, guess what the subjects were? Reincarnation and various other things that came up in that class. So I went, okay, what are your 10 commandments? Probably needs to go on the sidebar, and I need to talk about reincarnation. Or I don't want to talk about reincarnation, but what I want to talk about is regeneratively reincarnating yourself. So the reading assignment for those of you that don't know, I'm doing on a Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. I do a class on Lent. It's open to anybody who wants to attend. It's on our UNS website if you want to link in, find out a bit more about it. But it only goes for an hour, and it's just a discussion about Lent. But as part of that process, we're going through the book Keep a True Lent, but we're doing it in a specific way, and there's specific readings that happen out of that. So the reading assignment for the subject this week is conservation. Get the right page, conservation 162, conservation. Now, conservation, the reading out of the Bible for conservation is from Isaiah, and I'll talk about that a little bit later on, but it's out of Isaiah, and it's Isaiah 55. Now, those of you that are experts and knowledgeable about the Bible may not recognize or may not know that passage exactly, but it's actually an invitation to an abundant life poem or writing. It's written in prose, so it looks like a poem. However, in the readings for the class under conservation, it states this: Jesus represents man in the regeneration. That is, man in the process of restoring his body to its pristine purity, where it will live on perpetually without old age, disease, or death. A necessary step in this process of body restoration is the quickening of the vitalizing energies in the subconscious that feed the body and give it life, give it the life force that renews its youth. Eternal youth is one of the God-given ideas that man loves. Now, when I read that, I went, ooh, that's a lot. There's a lot in that one paragraph that had me thinking and looking through a whole process. So what I think was, I don't fully understand what that fully means. So what I think I might do is, as I do what I normally do with Unity, is as I go to the metaphysics of it. I go to, okay, what's represented behind that? Now, remember, this is a book written by Charles Fillmore, and Charles also worked on the Revealing Word, and he also worked on the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. So metaphysically, when you look at regeneration, it states a change in which abundant spiritual life, even eternal life, is incorporated into the body. The transformation that takes place through the bringing of all the forces of mind and body to the support of the Christ ideal. It's the unification of spirit, soul, and body in spiritual oneness. So regeneration is about bringing the conscious mind into the subconscious level. It's about inputting information that we want to have in our subconscious, because as you know, with the mind, and this comes down to psychology, but it also comes down to Unity, to, you know, where we've spoken in Unity, the subconscious is where the work's done. The permanent, lasting, long-term change is done in the subconscious. So when we talk about, you know, the thoughts control you, or the thoughts, you know, make things, thoughts are things, we talk about how we need to look at and be aware of our thoughts, so that if we're having thoughts that are not to our highest good or to our best workings, then we need to work towards changing those thoughts. And it's through changing those thoughts that we hopefully, and we, well, it doesn't hopefully, it happens, whether we agree with it or not, it happens. It changes our being and changes our focus of which way we operate, operating from outside in or inside out. And it's changing those thoughts and looking at those thoughts and being aware how those thoughts impact our subconscious mind. So one of the tools that Unity provides for that, of course, is denials and affirmations. So part of the regeneration process, so when you're regenerating, so you know, when we're regenerating a garden, or we're regenerating a forest or whatever, we plant the seeds, but then we have to constantly keep tending that garden. We have to keep moving and keep that garden growing through tendering it with water, fertilizer, and if you're of that gardening type, playing music to your plants helps regenerate them. There's all this stuff that you do to get that garden to grow. It's the same with our thoughts. If we want good, healthy, reliable thoughts, we need to water that garden with our denials and affirmations. We need to move through that process and do that. But we need to do it lovingly. You know, if you've got a garden and it's growing and it's not growing the way you want it to, you don't pull all the plants out, tell them what bad plants they are and that they need to get their act together. You nurture them, you look after them, you administer to them, you provide them with more nourishment, more nutrients, and you feed them and build them up. It's the same with our thoughts. If we look at our thoughts, and if we have a thought and then we immediately chastise ourselves for that thought, that's missing the mark. That is not aiming yourself in the right direction in some form or fashion. And so you need to love that fact about yourself, and you need to love that aspect of yourself, and you need to walk through that. Again, denials and affirmations. Because And not only Charles, but many, many people talk about the fact that you need to do them over and over and over. Denials and affirmations are not a one-shot deal, okay? It is something that you need to continually be doing over and over again to embed that in your subconscious. What I found really interesting is that when I have got an affirmation or a denial and affirmation that I've been doing on a regular basis in treating myself for something that I want to change, I'll suddenly wake up one day, or I'll suddenly come to an awareness that I'm no longer saying the affirmation, but the belief's already there. So it kind of lets you know when you've done it enough. It kind of lets you know, oh, I don't need to do that anymore because that's already embedded in my subconscious. And that's an important part of understanding how we move through the process, being aware. We had a great conversation both on the Tuesday night class and the Saturday morning class that I ran this week about the fact that the thing I love about Unity the most is that it's about learning how to be aware. Instead of just living as a robot blindly going through things, if you can be aware of what's going on in and around you and make conscious decisions from your Christ consciousness within as to what you want to manifest, that to me is the beauty of Unity. That's the beauty of what we do. So it's about remembering to regeneratively reincarnate. So what do we mean by reincarnation? And I don't mean buying another bunch of carnations because the first lot went off, although that used to be a habit of mine for a while. And this really challenged me, this definition. This challenged me. And hang in there, guys, if this challenges you, because it challenged me. This is from the Revealing Word. This is the definition, the metaphysical definition from the Revealing Word. When a soul leaves the body, it rests for a season. Then innate desire for material expression asserts itself, and the ego seeks the primal cell and builds another body. This is reincarnation. Reincarnation will continue until the ego awakens to the Christ mind and through it builds an imperishable body. Hands up all those that are challenged by what I just said. A few hands up I can see. Because there's many, many different interpretations of what the word reincarnation actually means. Paul Hasselbeck in Heart-Centered Metaphysics, and this was the chapter that we were studying this week, which is Evolving Spiritual Awareness, Building Christ Consciousness. Paul states in there, belief in reincarnation is not necessary for uni students, but it is found in Charles Fillmore's writings. Now, you've got to remember that Charles Fillmore, when doing his investigations early on, studied at that time what was known as the seven major religions of the world, of which several of them discuss reincarnation. Paul then states, reincarnation is the process by which we express our desire for physical expression and is another way in which the sense of separation expresses the eternal divine idea of life. Oh boy, did I sit with that one for a while. Okay. My own personal view, and this is my own personal view on reincarnation, comes from a variety of sources. The first and foremost came from when I was in Canada working at the program that I was working at. I asked the head person there what he thought reincarnation and whether reincarnation was real as such. And I think Charles Fillmore would have really loved this concept because Charles was into the science of metaphysics. But Gilles said to me, this person said to me, energy can't die. Energy doesn't disappear. Just energy, one form of energy becomes another form of energy. Now, go figure, that's now what we're talking about in quantum physics. Okay, quantum physics is where I'm heading. So energy as such, so even, and the most expressive form of energy changing, of course, is the energy of an atomic bomb, which we all know about. So it starts out looking like a bomb, gets dropped, atoms join together, smash apart, we have an explosion. That's a fairly graphic example of how energy transfers. And so Gilles was saying to me that he believes, and he said, this is my belief, you choose your own belief. My belief is that when somebody physically dies, their energy is turned into another form of energy, whatever that is. Some people get buried, some people get cremated, some people get shipped out to sea, some people are burnt in a Viking ship and sent out into the mid-Atlantic. You know, there's different ways to get that process happens in the world. But he says all they do is they just become another energy. And that energy goes out into the energy that's everywhere present, which for us we call divine mind, divine expression, divine idea, but the energy is everywhere present. And when you, who are still on the planet, think about that person and you have that thought and emotion about that person, they have just reincarnated. Because you're taking their energy and you're expressing through you the energy of who they are. Now, that made perfect sense to me in one respect because, as many of you know, my older brother was killed in a motorbike accident, and for a long time I grieved him. And a long time I sort of, you know, it was kind of a, you know, I was in and out of the camp of, you know, what happened to him, where did he go, all of that sort of stuff. But over the, since being presented with this concept of reincarnation from that perspective, now every time I think of Andy, it's great. I get to visit with him again. I get to have those memories. Yeah, the memories of him when he was 17, 18, 15, 14, when we were 8, 9, fine. Doesn't matter. There's still my memories of him and there's still the feelings and I still feel the energy of being his brother. So to me, that's a form of, or a way to look at that. So understanding, so now, then from the unity perspective and from the readings that I've done, so again, in Keep a True Lent, it talks on, so the other reading assignment was chapter 9, pages 69 to 70. And I've just chosen this bit out of it because basically it confirms that I believe that Charles was talking about this when he was talking about reincarnation, as opposed to Julian dying and then Julian coming back as another form of Julian from a physical presence. Progressive men in the ranks of physical science are being led by analogy to the conclusion that this is a possibility. So he's talking about reincarnation possibility. Edison said that his investigations had convinced him that atoms are centers of intelligence, that the human body being composed of atoms, each of which is an intelligent entity, a man could, by getting control of these atoms through the will, live forever. This is the legitimate outworking of perfect principle, the steady onward march of mind from stage to stage in the unfoldment of its infinite possibilities. In the harmonious working of life's problems, according to principle, There are no backward steps. I also like, there's a quote right at the end of this, but I won't go into the whole thing, but it says, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living, said the illumined Jesus. So I think in unity, understanding how regeneration works, and regeneration is that feeding of the mind, it's the feeding of our consciousness, it's the growing of healthy thoughts, of abundance, thoughts of, you know, divine ideas, where it's coming from, that infinite field of potential and possibility that we all link into, and gaining that and regenerating those processes through denials and affirmations. And that, in fact, what we are doing is we are reincarnating ourselves. Now, the other part of reincarnation that gave me a real understanding of what unity means when they talk about reincarnation is my own journey from alcoholism to recovery. As many of you know, I got sober when I was 33, and that was an important part of my journey in life. And I'm grateful for the lessons that I learned up until that age of 33. And I'm even more grateful for the lessons I've learned since 33 on. And I'm not 33 anymore. But what I've realized is that through the regeneration process of remembering to regenerate myself, to go, so when I have those bad times, when I do slip back into old thoughts, I go, oh no, I have tools now. I have a way, I have an option to choose how I live my life, how I think about myself, how I move forward and not backward. So by regenerating that, I'm reincarnating myself on a constant basis. Now, that happened when I was 33 and I went through a process for a period of time. It happened again when I came back to unity, because I went away from unity for quite a while. When I came back to unity and I started studying unity at its core and really getting into the lessons and the study of unity, I reincarnated myself in another form again. Now, it's the same body, but it's a different consciousness. It is a reincarnated consciousness, and that's what we're aiming for, is a reincarnated change of consciousness from old way of thinking to new way of thinking. So we have to remember to regeneratively reincarnate. Sometimes it's a daily basis, sometimes it's an hourly basis, but we need to be constantly doing that. And again, as I said, denials and affirmations are the key to that process. But also being willing at times to really explore the shadow side of what's coming up for you. Look at what processes are going on, what examples are being shown to you, how is the world turning up for you, and understanding that we need to look at that in an honest way, because that gives us an idea of what is it we need to work on, what is it we need to work with, what is it we need to evolve, what is it we need to reincarnate, what do we need to regenerate, what do we need to do there. The segment or the section out of Isaiah, it's Isaiah 55 for those that are biblically, like to go back and look at some of the Bible references that we use. But the actual title of Isaiah 55 is An Invitation to an Abundant Life. Now, Isaiah was the son of Amos, it's a Z at the end. And he was a prophet, which is, so it's Isaiah, I think, is the first, and I could be corrected on this, but he's the first of the books that are known as the prophetic writings, the wisdom writings. He was a prophet during the reign of Hezekiah, who was also one of the kings, many kings of Judea at the time. And it's really interesting because Isaiah, when I looked at Isaiah and looked him up metaphysically, it actually says Isaiah means Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah is Yahweh, is divine idea, divine consciousness. But Isaiah also signifies understanding of the truth that deliverance, abundant supply, spirituality, and all other forms of good come to man through Jehovah, the Christ, his higher self or spiritual I am. I'll read that again. Isaiah signifies the understanding of the truth that delivers abundant supply, spirituality, and all other forms of good come to man through Jehovah, the Christ, his higher self, or spiritual I am. So it's all very much about, yes, denials and affirmations are good, but spending time in the silence, in meditation, connecting to the I am that is you, the I am that you are expressing, getting insights, understanding, conversations, whatever it is, spending time in that spiritual space of the spiritual man, the spiritual person, sorry, that you are. So there's 13 verses of this. But the verse that really, or the verse, the section of the verse that really got me about understanding why Unity talks about this and why I talked about this today is verse 8 through to 11. So the precursor to this, sorry, the statement above this is, let him return to Yahweh and he will have mercy on him, to our God, for he will freely pardon. And then he goes on to say, for my thoughts, and this is a quote from Yahweh, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, says Yahweh. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as rain comes down and the snow from the sky, and doesn't return there, but waters the earth and makes it grow and bud, and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void, but will accomplish that which I please, and it will prosper the thing I send it to do. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills will break out before you into singing, and the trees and the fields will clap their hands. So the way I look at that particular verse is that going within and getting the spiritual connection, the spiritual information that we need from the Christ consciousness of us will take us to a higher place, will help us move to a state of heaven. It will help us regenerate and reincarnate. It will help us through that process. So as a truth student, if you claim yourself to be a truth student, which we do, whether we know it or not, we're all truth students. If you claim yourself to be a truth student, you have to understand that what you're actually doing, if you're practicing your denials, your affirmations, your meditations, prayer, and constantly getting into a state of what is my Christ consciousness believe, or what is my Christ consciousness helping me with, what is my Christ, if you're tapping into that all the time, then you are consistently regenerating yourself. Constantly regenerating. It's a known fact that, and I always get this wrong, but anyway, it's a known fact that actually every, somewhere between 7 to 9 years, every cell of our body in every organ and every way is replaced. We actually have new bodies about every 7 to 9 years, roughly, depending on who you talk to. And it's the same with our mind. And it's about constantly regenerating our mind and reincarnating that Christ consciousness from within out. So I want you to take a time now, get yourselves comfortable, close your eyes or avert your eyes, whatever you want to do. But we're going to go into a time of silence, a time of meditation, a time of touching into that Christ consciousness that is you, that is in you as you, and is in everywhere present. And I want you to really connect with how amazing you are, how phenomenal it is that you have the ability to regenerate and reincarnate the sense of who you are. And feel within yourself that sense of oneness with the divine that is you. And we do that in the silence. And living, loving spirit, we take this time to say thank you for the divine within and our ability to remember to regenerate happily, joyously, and reincarnate the consciousness of who we are. We know the divine presence within is connected to the divine mind, the infinite field of potential and possibility that is everywhere present, and that the energies flow in through and as us, flow in through and as everything, and that we are the oneness that is divine. And we show gratitude for the ability to regenerate our consciousness, to further experience divine love, divine wisdom, divine understanding in, through, and as you and as us. And we know that we are one.